It's time for Sacred Conversations on WZMO. Marian pastors gathered around a kitchen table with coffee and donuts chatting. Let's listen in.
Welcome back to Sacred Conversations, pastors in the Marion, Ohio area having conversations around a kitchen table. I'm Reverend Adam Sornchai, pastor of St. John Lutheran Windfall, Cardington. I'm joined by my colleagues.
Pastor Chuck Osborne, Dayspring Wesleyan.
Father Ed Chiquina, the pastor of St. Mary Catholic Church in Marion, as well as Sacred Hearts Church in Cardington.
Today we're going to be discussing Pentecost, which is the birthday of the church and the culmination of the Easter season. Father Ed, will you read us a little excerpt from Acts of the Apostles?
Sure, this is from Acts chapter 2. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together, and suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as a fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in different tongues, as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Pastor Chuck, any special things you do on Pentecost? Do you acknowledge Pentecost as a day in the year?
We make reference to it, probably not as much as some of your guys' settings and stuff, but we make reference to it, and then we can hit it in any time of the year and stuff too. Mm-hmm. And so we'll just kind of hit the movement and the start of the church mm-hmm. around that time, and kind of what we fall into. Yeah.
In your tradition, I mean, it's certainly a big. One of the big aspects of it is the Holy Spirit role in the life of the church, but your tradition's very big in kind of the theology around the whole Holy Spirit. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and so we recognize the Holy Spirit, coming on the people and giving them the abilities, and I think there's some discussion then, about the speaking in tongues.
Sure,
on different traditions, historically, we tended to be on the side that would say, the speaking in tongues was obviously these people, speaking in languages that were actually representative instead of like a prayer language where some people would default to and stuff. But we would say it was interesting the timing of all those people being in one place from different kind of different groups and stuff, and then hearing the word and their languages, then being able to take it out to the world, And so, so we recognize the impact of the Holy Spirit coming up upon you. But I just recently got in a discussion with one of our members. I feel like the Holy Spirit's name gets misused all the time. I feel like even sometimes I'm always cautious with even pastors, because I think sometimes we get up in our pulpit and we say, I feel like the Spirit is, telling us to build or telling us to this. I'm like, I think we have to be careful, mm-hmm. How we come across. And I had somebody that's pretty antagonistic in what they were saying. The Holy Spirit told me to come in and say this. And I was like, well, it's interesting, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And is that the way you felt like you brought this? And I'm like, no. And I was like, I'm not sure that was from the Holy Spirit. Then, So I think there's always this, figuring out, when something is truly from the Spirit and when it's not, that I think we struggle with at times, because it feels like people can get carried away within the Spirit as well, where it feels like God wants order, mm-hmm. Which Paul kind of addresses, in some of the churches and stuff as well. So.
Well, I think sometimes we do a disservice, and I think it comes from certain, traditions and movements throughout Christianity that tie the Holy Spirit with kind of a certain external expression of the faith or a particular experience.
Yeah.
So there are people that feel like I've never had that kind of experience. Am I saved? Yeah. Right? Or I don't have those gifts. So does God really love me? Right? And but at the same time, I know I can speak for the Lutheran tradition, but I think it's similar to Roman Catholics. I think people would look at us externally and not think like, oh, those are Holy Spirit churches.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit is very, very integral in the life of our churches and our traditions, right? I mean, faith comes because of the Holy Spirit. In Luther's Small Catechism, when explaining the third article of the Creed, Luther says, I believe that I cannot believe, which sounds strange, but he says, I believe that I cannot believe by my own understanding that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to see and acknowledge and receive Jesus as Lord. That faith is a gift, not something we choose, but something that God gives to us and reveals to us. So, and then even the, being sacramental traditions, Father, The Holy Spirit plays a huge role in the efficacy and possibility of the sacraments. Is that correct?
Right. Yep. Yep, that's correct. So, yeah, I mean, if you're talking about the sacraments, you know, there's the passage from, you know, the Gospel of John when he says that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and he breathes upon them, and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained." Which the Catholic Church says that this is the sort of the foundational line for the sacrament of confession. The fact that they are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to confer this particular sacrament of Jesus forgiving his sins through the ministry of the priest. And so that's the power of the Holy Spirit at work. And so the power of the Holy Spirit is not necessarily, you know, like the charisma that we might sort of understand of, you know, the Spirit. So somebody being filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, we might understand that as like, oh, there, we could see the joy, mm-hmm. and we could see that maybe they have this charismatic teaching or can speak a prophetic word, and those things could be there.
Yeah.
But you know, in the Catholic tradition, so being filled with the Holy Spirit is like just you're empowered to live the Christian life, right? So you can something as simple as forgiving somebody who's hurt you.
Yeah.
Jesus says, "Forgive not just 7 times, but 70 times 7." Well, that's not easy for us to do on a natural mm-hmm. level, but the Holy Spirit can enable us to love our enemies.
Sure.
You know, or even Jesus nailed him on the cross. He's looking at the very people who've nailed him, and he's able to say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Right. So that capacity to be able to forgive our persecutors or people who hurt us, that comes from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to put words in Pastor Chuck's mouth, but it sounds like people can be full of something. It just might not be the Holy Spirit.
Right. Exactly.
Would that be fair to say?
Yeah. So. Well, and it also feels like to some people, because they've, like, it's all, like, you know, we do this thing of comparing ourselves to other people, right? And so all of a sudden, if it feels like that these people are filled with the Holy Spirit and they're moved with emotion and stuff, it feels like, well, if I don't have that, I don't know that I am filled with the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. right? And so... So I think the danger is, right, is try to manipulate some of that stuff.
Yeah.
And so that I think that's where my concern is. And I think I grew up in some of that, you know, where we would have people running up and down the aisles and stuff, you know. And it just feels like people were trying to outdo each other. I often joke sometimes I've been part of prayer groups with pastors. And I feel like each pastor is trying to outpray the other one, you know. And I'm like, "Why? What are we doing here?" You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure that we need to do that part of it. So then I think I tend sometimes to be a little bit more restrained, in my approach. You know?
Well, and then I think you alluded to earlier the weaponization of the Holy Spirit,
right?
Be like for people to push individual agendas. It's like the checkmate is, well, the Spirit told me to do this.
Right,
and that's it. And when reality, I mean, with Pentecost, this is the birthday of the church. This is a community of believers, right, coming together in both unity and diversity, right? Coming, they're not as, I mean, sometimes in our society, we confuse unity with uniformity.
Right.
But unity and diversity are inherent attributes of the church, universal. And that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us and discern as a community, not just an individual just telling everybody what to do, right? Like, you know, I mean, that there is intentional discernment in that, and how communities can come to conclusions and decisions, but it's something you arrive to together. And I think it's more complex and nuanced. Being a nerd of all things Christian, I will butcher the quote, but I think... he was Pope Benedict, prior to being Pope Benedict, speaking about the conclave, saying that it's not that the Holy Spirit even takes over the conclave and just makes a decision. And he even cites, he goes, there's enough bad popes in history to know that's not the case. Mm-hmm. But the Spirit's there kind of like a teacher, like an educator, like a counselor. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and so there's this role that the Spirit has in how we discern and make decisions, but it's not just kind of possessing us to always make, you know, those things. There is some agency there, right, in our discernment, if that makes sense, that God is guiding us and steering us along.
Well, and one of the things we could attribute, like, in the Wesleyan tradition, we talk about, like, the Wesley quadrilateral is what we call it. Who Wesley didn't even follow himself. I mean, they attribute to him. He didn't, that's not what he did, you know. But we'll often say, like, our checks and balances is like, okay, you know, you recognize the Holy Spirit is speaking into you, but you also need to check that through Scripture. You need to check it through tradition, and then you need to check it through experience, right, and stuff. And so that's kind of the what we would call the sort of the safety net of falling into that. I do have a question, though. I don't know if we already talked about this, so forgive me if I'm asking. But the reason that people were gathered in the first place was to celebrate what?
They're in prayer, right? Like, just, you know, they're it says earlier on that they had been gathered for fear of the Jews, right? So these are like the 12 apostles plus maybe a bunch of other disciples.
Yeah, but I was trying to figure out why, like, because all the people were gathered around that area. So,
yeah.
Why were all the nations and tribes there?
Was it, isn't it particularly a Jewish holiday?
Yeah. I was trying to think what.
Pentecost?
Yeah, because I was trying to think what Jewish holiday was around that time that they were all gathered, because I couldn't remember all of a sudden for some reason.
Was it Simchat Torah?
I don't know. Probably should have looked that up beforehand. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it seems like there was an analogy at one time. It was a celebration of, like, you know, it was one of the celebrations of the festival. And I think I was reading this at one time. It was almost a celebration of, like, sort of the first fruits that they got. And what was interesting to me, if that's true, is that we have the first fruits of the early church, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the symbolism in that could be very powerful if that's in fact true, because we see the start of the church then at this point as well, you know. So.
Yeah, it's in Acts. It's a Jewish festival. So not to confuse, because Father Ed also read a little bit from John.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different, you know, John's, what you would call John's Pentecost story is a different timeline than what we'd get in Acts the Apostles,
right?
Which I think is a particular Jewish holiday that they're gathered for.
Yeah. So, they had been gathered, the 12 apostles had been gathered in the upper room, and Jesus appears to them through locked doors, and that's when he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And then there's the Luke's version in Acts of the Apostles is when that's what we heard today, is the Holy Spirit coming upon the apostles and the disciples, and then they're able to proclaim the gospel message. So, you know, whether or not it, you know, literally happened in that way, the point is that the Holy Spirit is what empowers us to be able to proclaim the gospel message.
Mm-hmm.
You have, you know, these apostles and disciples who had been with Jesus for 3 years publicly, and they knew him, and they even saw him resurrected from the dead. And for 40 days they saw him. And yet they're still sort of in fear, right? And it's only when they receive the Holy Spirit that they are then able to boldly proclaim Jesus Christ and are effective in that. And so we hear the effectiveness, meaning that they have multiple languages, and so people from all nations are able to understand what's being proclaimed to them. And so that's, we would say that's the work of the Holy Spirit. So that's kind of what the story of this Pentecost moment in the Acts of the Apostles is trying to tell us, is that, you know, it's really through the work of the Holy Spirit that now people can understand the gospel message and it gets spread.
We should really have producers that can look up these things for us while we're live.
yeah.
That kind of work. You know, that's how most radio programs work.
Right,
they got
a
control room doing things.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's spot on, Father. We're, you know, Pastor Chuck and I were kind of looking as you were talking here that in Acts 2 on Pentecost, as Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, is a festival that occurs 50 days after Passover. And it talks about that connection of the first fruits of the harvest to God. So 50 days after Passover, that's going to be a significant thing, as we said, 50 days, right? For us, concluding the Easter season. Mm-hmm. For us, that the resurrection of Christ, Jesus is our Passover.
Right.
And our sacrifice, right?
Right.
I mean, so, like, that is very significant. So it parallels feast.
And even some of the other stuff it was talking about in there is it was saying it was a celebration of Moses getting the law.
So I was thinking Simchat Torah for some reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
God gave the law. Yep.
Yeah. Which is interesting, right? Because then we have the new, you know, we kind of have the new covenant, right?
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
But even some of the things I was reading, you know, like it says tongues of fire came, and it's interesting how many times the fire is representation of God, right? You know, we have mm-hmm. we have Moses in the burning bush, you know, mm-hmm. And yet we have these moments of fire when God speaks to his people, you know, and so, and then again, the tongues of fire come on, which again is a symbolism of God's presence right then. And then, you know, we know the Holy Spirit comes on and in such a unique way that people, I mean, you know, it says they're coming to Christ right now, you know, which is amazing.
And when, you know, Jesus says, you know, I'll send you the Holy Spirit, and then you'll do greater works than I do. So, you know, sometimes we think, well, he's just talking about like the miraculous things that he does, that we would do even more than that. But I don't think so. I think what Jesus is getting at is, you know, if you think about how many people came to know Jesus while he walked the earth, a lot of people turned away from him. A lot mm-hmm. of people rejected him. And but now, in the time of afterwards, when the Holy Spirit has come upon us, look at how many people have come to know the Lord and have converted. I mean, you know, just even these in the Acts of the Apostles, we hear in the early church, people are converting by the thousands,
right?
Like in just one day, right? In just one place,
right?
And so those are the greater acts, because you know Jesus did not have people converting by the thousands.
Right.
You know, and so that's the greater thing, right? That's the, because conversion of heart is probably the hardest thing that God can do, because God gives people free will, and he's never going to force himself upon people in their hearts to change. But he gives them the grace, and the Holy Spirit is there to, I don't know, somehow get people to say, I want to convert. And so when the Holy Spirit comes, that's what happens, is so many people convert.
Yeah, and I'm sure that all of us probably have stories of like when we felt like the Holy Spirit was just around in a special way, is what we'll sometimes say. You know, it's like you'll be a part of a service, and it's all like, for me, it's all of a sudden it's like, man, I'm not sure this service is going to go well, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, the Holy Spirit shows up, and like, and people's lives are just dramatically changed, right? Like, and I've often said, even when I preach, there are times like people will come up to me afterwards and they'll be like, man, Pastor Chuck, when you said this one thing, and they'll talk about something that really hit them, and I'm like, man, I never said that in my message, you know? And so that's when I recognize, that's the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, you know, mm-hmm. which you would prefer anyways, right? Because what I have to say is meaningless, you know? And then my always thing with people is like, you know, one of the things I try to preach to our church is like, we need to make a name for Christ and not like a name for Dayspring or not a name for Chuck, you know, and that feels like what, you know, like even Peter, who stands up and, you know, has all this authority on him, like he's really like giving it to him, like, man, you guys murdered this guy, you know, and here's what he represented. And people were so moved by that, you know. And even when you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, you were saying that people didn't believe in Jesus, right? Well, you got James, his own brother, who didn't believe that he was really the Messiah in that way, you know. But I always say, like, but when you see your brother die and come back alive, you're like, oh, yeah, I think I believe that now. You know, mm-hmm. like, so then there was this dramatic change in him. And it was interesting to me because James, like, the book of James is so unique to me because it really seems to me to follow the Sermon on the Mount. So it seems to suggest to me that even though James didn't believe necessarily his brother was the Messiah, he still heard every word that he said, you know, and then was able to go back and kind of use that within his own mm-hmm. text and stuff and say, this is how it plays out, you know.
So there's, you know, we're talking about Pentecost and the Holy Spirit coming, you know, upon the disciples. But, you know, everybody who is in the Catholic tradition, you know, we teach that anybody who is baptized receives the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, then we have a separate sacrament of confirmation, which is that, you know, the Holy Spirit then comes in its fullness on the, you know, or another way of saying it is like our baptismal grace is completed. So we receive in a strengthened, in a greater way, the Holy Spirit when we receive the sacrament of confirmation. And so we, you know, that's, I could just throw out scripture verses of where you could see where there's a separate sacrament of confirmation, and you see that in Acts of the Apostles. But I won't go there. Well, I could just say it's, you know, you hear things like, okay, well, St. Paul goes to the, I don't know if it's the Corinthians, and, you know, they said, well, we have never heard that there is a Holy Spirit, and he baptizes them, and then he lays hands on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit. But there's for all of us who have the Holy Spirit, I like this particular reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, where he talks about, well, what does the Holy Spirit do in particular for us? He says, the Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes with inexpressible groanings. And the one who searches hearts knows what is the intention of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the holy ones according to God's will. And so I think that what that means to me is that, you know, when we're in prayer, you know, as long as we're, you know, we've got the Holy Spirit within us, you know, we may not pray in the right way. Or maybe we're just discouraged. And, you know, we just go into the church just to pray, and we don't even know the right words to say. But the Holy Spirit is there to intercede for us. And maybe all we can do is groan. And but the Holy Spirit knows what we need, and so he intercedes for us.
Yeah, it feels like sometimes even when I pray like that, I may pray with wrong motives, or I'm upset with the situation. I'm always amazed in that time of prayer, just communicating with God, how the Holy Spirit would just be like, hey, don't forget about this text or this situation, or you know what I mean? And it's almost as if my heart is changed in that moment, right? And so that's where I see the Spirit interceding even on my behalf to say, hey, like, it's probably a good thing that you don't go and talk to this person right now, because I need to speak to you first, because I got to get your mind and I got to get your heart right before you go into this situation, you know. And so I know for me, I appreciate those moments.
Yeah.
You know, because I think when I do things on my own, and maybe that's the way to say that, when I do things in my own power, I seem to mess it up, you know. But when I do things with his strength and his power, I mean, it just seems to go way better, you know. It's interesting to me, too. One of our pastors, we were trying to plant a church in Thailand. And we had all the money raised. Well, we need $60,000 to complete a project inside. And the one pastor who's heading it up, he said he was reading the passage that God breathed on the situation. And he said he just took that to heart. And he's like, I don't know how we're going to pay for this. And just last week, he had a guy that stopped him and said, hey, pastor, he said, can I talk to you for a minute? He says, do you guys have any needs right now? And he's like, man, he's like, I'm just drowning right now. He's like, you know, we have all these expenses, and I don't know what we're going to do. And he said, well, add that up for me. And he added up. He's like, it's like $65,000. And he said to him, this is exactly what he said, I just want you to breathe. And so that was his text that he just read, you know. And he said, hey, he said, I had a small IRA. And he said, I reinvested it on some of the AI stock. And he says it went way up in value. And he's like, I got $65,000 I'm going to hand to you, you know. And he was like, oh, okay. You know, so you realize that was a moment where the Holy Spirit spoke to this guy who didn't even know this situation was coming up. And the pastor's reading something on, you know, God breathing into a situation. And he's like, okay, you know, the Holy Spirit just did his thing. You know what I mean? And that's when you just recognize, wow, you know, the work of the Holy Spirit when he comes on things is just absolutely amazing, you know.
Yeah, one of the other aspects in traditions, particularly with bishops, not all of them, but like the mitre that bishops wear, that's that funny pointed hat.
Yes.
That comes from Pentecost. That has roots in Pentecost. It's the tongues of the Holy Spirit is what it represents, right?
Yeah. The funny shape on the funny top shape of the hat. Looks like maybe fire.
Fire, yeah. Yeah.
Over the head.
Yeah.
Like, so that, and typically it is the bishop that who does actually our confirmations. The bishop is the ordinary minister who confirms all the people, whether they're teenagers or adults. And
Yeah, so that's not always, I think, a connection people make or even know the symbolism there, right? That's between that, but yeah.
Well, let's see. We have, so I just wanted to throw this out there. I just was looking up just one verse where it shows that the Holy Spirit was separate from the baptism. So Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. So as Paul, he's in Ephesus. It says, when Apollos was in Corinth, he traveled through the interior of the country and came down to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? They answered him, we have never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. He said, how are you baptized? They replied, with the baptism of John. Paul then said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who is to come after him, that is, in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So there's a notion, this is one right after the other, but he baptizes them, and then he lays hands on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit. And then they talk about speaking in tongues and prophesying, so that's also talking about just different, these are maybe we could say charismatic gifts of the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit. So that's probably when we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people think in those terms of maybe speaking in tongues, or whether it's angelic languages or, I don't know, some foreign language that they normally wouldn't know, or speaking a prophetic word towards others. And those are, in the Catholic Church would say that, you know, hey, those are legitimate gifts that people can have. But the greater gifts of the Holy Spirit is really just that ability to live the Christian life, to do things that, you know, maybe suffer well, you know, or, you know, be able to love those who hate us, or just have a conversion of heart. So those are the greater, probably the greater gifts that we can have.
We, you know, when I was in college, we took a missions trip to Russia. It was the first time they opened it up to Christianity again. And it was interesting going over there. And, you know, we grew up in the 80s, right? It was the Cold War. And so we kind of had our view of going in there. And we started ministering to people. And we had interpreters that would interpret for us. And the interpretations, man, like, it didn't feel like it was going well. You know what I mean? Because it was very bland. Like, we were trying to say things with a little bit of excitement. And it was very bland, the way that they were saying it. And, well, through the course of us being over there, several of our interpreters got saved.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. And then what was interesting, once they got saved, the way that they communicated was way different. Mm. Like, you could almost sense this movement of the Holy Spirit on them, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, interesting story, though. This, you might like this. So we went over there and ministered to these people. Later, I go back to my seminary. And I have a professor that's over the Greek and stuff in my seminary classes, and we were talking about this youth camp, and she was like, I was at that youth camp. I got saved at that youth camp. I was an interpreter. And so what was interesting to me, this lady that got saved was now my teacher.
Oh, wow.
My professor. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, yeah. That was so, like, yeah, that just blew my mind, you know? Because we went back, and I found the photo, and she was in there, and I was like, oh, my goodness. The person that we were ministering to is now my professor. Yeah, that was crazy to me, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We could see how the Holy Spirit is continuing at work. Like, these aren't just kind of events that we confine to biblical events. I think sometimes Christians do that. They think it's something that's removed from them, distant from them. But I think, you know, examples like that, Pastor Chuck, are evidence in how the Spirit is alive and well.
Right.
Yeah.
And even it enlivens us as Christians. You know, there are many times when, you know, you could suffer and you can become bitter or angry. I think about Saint Josephine Paquita, who was a slave girl in Africa, and she was beaten and tortured as a girl when she was a slave. But then she was purchased by these religious nuns, these Catholic nuns in Italy, and so she moved to Italy, and then they purchased her freedom, and then, you know, just by the grace of the Holy Spirit, she received baptism, became a Christian, and then became a religious sister herself, and just instead of being bitter about what happened to her as a child towards others, she was really grateful for her life and grateful to God, and was actually quite joyful in her adult life. And so we could see that, you know, that's what the grace of the Holy Spirit can do for us. You know, naturally, it would be hard to be joyful like that. But, you know, the Holy Spirit can, you know, it's sort of even the Ezekiel, there's a passage, Ezekiel chapter 37, about the dry bones being able to come back to life. Yeah. And so if we feel like, even in our own life, if we feel, you know, we're in desolation or discouraged, you know, they'll call upon the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit can certainly bring us back to new life.
Well, happy birthday to all those who are going to be celebrating the birthday of the church this coming Sunday. For anybody that has questions they want to email us to answer on air, email wzmo1071@gmail.com. That's wzmo1071@gmail.com. I'm Reverend Adam Sorenshai, pastor of St. John Lutheran Windfall, Cardington.
I'm Father Ed Shakina, the pastor of Sacred Hearts Cardington and St. Mary's in Marion.
And I'm Pastor Chuck Osborne of Dayspring Wesleyan.
Thank you, and God bless.
Sacred Conversations is heard twice a week on WZMO. Check our website program schedule for times, or you can hear the program on demand from our website anytime. Thank you for listening.